Lord, we thank you for a wonderful time tonight. We thank you in advance for your power and your anointing and whatever you're going to do, Lord. We release this to you, Holy Spirit. We open and yield ourselves to you to instruct and to have a good time and to be at great peace here. We leave all the cares of the day back at home, back at the job. And we just thank you for taking care of all those things for us, Lord, while we're here. And all our families are all blessed and safe of anyone that's in this room. We love you, Lord. We honor you. We are excited to serve you in the way of divine healing. And we're excited what you're going to do in this body and the amazing work you're going to do in this city. And we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. One day when I was talking to Matt, he said that the healing room is potentially more front line than Club Retro. And they do a lot with that. They get a lot of young people saved, you know. And but if you think about it, it was Jesus' front mode of attack. It was his choice. It was his weapon of choice for his love, was divine healing. And divine healing opens a lot of doors. So I wanted to just do some interesting. Let's talk about how God heals. Let's see who knows some of the ways. Let's see who has some ways that God heals. They can be off the wall, too. The most basic that we use in these healing rooms?
He heals through love.
Love. You mean I can just love you from here and you'll get healed?
The love is Jesus' love.
Right.
Through His Spirit, which we have in us, the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
I think it starts with compassion. If He gives you His compassion, then you just love.
Right. And then that would move you to pray for somebody and lay hands on them. And well, I just said one.
Yeah, that's
Yeah, that's probably the most popular one. How about other ways?
In worship.
Get healed while you're worshiping. And you can do that in the shower. You can sing and. Who else? What else? About while reading scripture?
Yeah.
I like that.
He sent his word and healed.
Yes, Proverbs 4. The word is life to those who find it and health to all their flesh.
Just speaking.
Speaking. Like speaking out a healing to our own body or to someone else's body? Yeah. So that would also, the prophecy would be under that, right? For example, when the prophet said to Naaman, go dip 7 times in the River Jordan, he was giving a conditional word that had a creative type situation in it. And if the prophet, if Naaman had disobeyed, he would have missed his healing. Mm-hmm. How about other ways?
Wisdom and revelation. That word of wisdom.
Yes. Okay, so you're talking about gifts of the Spirit? Yeah, that's a big one with the healing rooms, is we want to be really active in releasing gifts of the Holy Spirit on people. We're going to talk about it tonight in our policies because we have parameters that we have to go by. But God showed me when I was really young in this and I was laying hands on everybody that I could, He showed me how much it would open up the abilities if you could start giving them words while you're praying for them, giving and laying hands on them, and you, it really just opens people up, and then you can. And some who gave a word once, and it was you need to drink more water.
Yeah.
And this person started drinking more water, and they were healed. Isn't that funny that God would use a supernatural word to give a natural solution and not even heal them in divine healing? Well, now that I mention natural, what's one big way God heals? Natural healing.
Right.
You know what? It's not miraculous. It is a miracle for our bodies to heal themselves. But God built into these bodies the ability to heal themselves. If you think about it, doctors don't do any healing at all. All they can do is set the body on course for it to heal itself.
To facilitate it. They facilitate it.
Yeah, even when they give you antibiotics, your body still has to heal itself, you know? When they set a bone, they can't get any healing done in that bone. The body all grows, the bones all grow back together. So natural healing, and this is an interesting one because I believe that natural healing and divine healing work together. And I believe a good healing minister will count on that fact, that this person that's coming before me to get prayer today is going to, they're going to get a shot of miracle power. They're going to get a shot of the glory through me. But it's going to enhance what's already going on in them, which is natural healing. And it might even be what it takes to put them over, you know, put them over in the natural healing. Because if you think about it, you know, you get a cold, you pray, cold in Jesus' name, leave me, and you rebuke this cold. The name of Jesus is above you, cold, get out of my body, virus, leave my body. It's kind of like you're cutting it off right there. You're cutting the attack off. Do you ever notice if a tree gets cut down and it's still a green tree, it still won't burn, right? It has to be seasoned wood, right, to burn well. And so you can look at the end of a tree and you can see there's still life in that tree. And I believe sometimes when sickness hits our body, even cancer. See, this church is standing for a lot of people with cancer. I believe that through the supernatural realm, we can cut it off. We can say, I curse cancer, I command it to die. There's still a natural process, too, that the body needs to go through to make the body well again. And God could do all that natural process for the person, and I believe sometimes He doesn't. But you can cut the attack off at the root. Because I believe all sickness is a spiritual condition. All sickness, if it's a cold or cancer and everything in between, it's a spiritual attack on the body. And we have to disarm the spiritual part of that attack. And then God's free to work on us to bring us the creative miracle the person might need, or our body's able to heal itself through the natural means, which is God's way of healing. Is there any other ways of healing?
Communion. Very good.
Communion.
Very good.
Wow. And the key in communion is being in community and forgiving and loving the people around you, taking the communion with you. It's called communion because it comes from the same root word as community. And in 1 Corinthians 11, it says, you don't rightly discern the body, and therefore many are sickly and are asleep among you. So many are sick, and many have already died because you didn't rightly discern the body. And the body that he's talking about is the body of Christ, community. And if you are coming to communion and you have aught with somebody, your communion is not helping you.
Yeah.
And I believe there's other levels of the body of Christ. There's the wafer or the bread that we use is representative of the body of Jesus. And that takes us back and reminds us of the stripes, you know, the broken body, the stripes. And then that takes us back to the scripture. It says, by his stripes ye were healed. In the denomination I grew up in, they taught that the bread and the wine are the body and blood of Christ. And that's a teaching called transubstantiation. But I no longer agree with that. It's a symbol of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And the Catholic Church also believes that. When the priest or the pastor of the Lutheran churches, Episcopal's the same way. I grew up a Lutheran. When they bless that bread and wine, they're thinking that it turns into the body and blood of Christ, you know. But Jesus said, you got to eat my body and drink my blood. And they said, we don't understand. That's a hard saying. All these people got up and walked away. And Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. See, bread and wine that signify communion are only flesh. They're just flesh. And Jesus said, flesh profits nothing. But the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So it's important when you're taking communion to use the word. And to use, by his stripes I was healed, and the blood cleanses us from all sin. You know, use the word, because it's the words that are spirit and life. And those are what makes communion hit its mark. And you get healed from communion. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, you going to pass it? You want me to?
I already did.
Oh, good for you.
Now that you guys have already read it while he's talking, couple things. The reason we did it in here this time was we wanted you to see what we do on Thursdays, okay? Now, usually the church doesn't have all of these chairs, all right? But what we do is we set up a group of chairs there, a group of chairs here, and a group of chairs back in the corner. And we usually have three teams, okay? We also, where all those chairs there are in front of the sound booth, we usually lay out a soaking station. I was going to do that tonight, but I didn't realize the chairs would still be up. And it's been kind of neat. The soaking station is a real nice silk, satiny fabric on a quilt with pillows. It's been amazing to see people, after they've been prayed for, go over and lay down and just let the Holy Spirit finish ministering to them. We always have music going, just very soft, worshipful music. We also have a little table right next to the soaking station that has communion implements, so that people can, if they feel like it, they can take communion and then go, you know, sit in that soaking area and just wait on the Holy Spirit. What happens in here has been very powerful, and it's evolving. You know, the process that we're working in, and, you know, is evolving. We're praying about, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do here? But we do work within parameters, okay? If you look at your I made this handout way more detailed than I did the other teachings. And the reason is I want you to be able to take this home and not rely on notes. But if you're going, now, what was the rule on that? What was the guideline on that? It should be in here, okay? Feel free to add other things that we say on it. The Word says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. And then Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. You know what? When you are giving yourselves and taking the time to minister to others that come in here because they're in some sort of situation, it might be that they've had a cold they can't get rid of for a couple of weeks. It could be that they just got a diagnosis of cancer. It could be their child has cancer. I mean, we've had all sorts of things in here. But you are laying your life down. Okay, you are saying, I'm laying my life down. I'm here to be used by God, and I want my gift excellent. And that's why we have these parameters, is that you don't want to come in with a shoddy gift. It's you. You're the gift. You're the gift to these people. The Holy Spirit's going to be moving through you. And so, again, that's why we're taking the time tonight to go over these things. Our goal here is to create a safe environment. You'll hear us say that a lot. This environment, doesn't matter who's coming in, whether they're members of this church, whether they're unchurched, whether they're from, a traditional church. We've had a lot of people that were Seventh-day Adventists come in. It's kind of neat. We had a stream of them for a while. I think they were kind of just telling each other. And we've had a lot of unchurched people. We've had people drive from, was it Lodi?
Yeah.
Lodi?
Stockton.
Stockton. And so we have all sorts of people with all sorts of needs, and they come in here with a need, and they need to know. They're taking a risk when they come in here. They need to know that this is a safe place, that they're going to be loved no matter what their belief systems are, no matter what their problem is. Okay, there's nothing too hard for God.
And the act of coming in here is an act of faith.
It is. It is an act of faith.
So that there's on. They deserve some honor for
yes.
that.
Confidentiality, and they need to know that they can trust us. Okay. Personal preparation, very key. First thing, personal preparation. You have to make yourself prepared. I mean, we all go through life, okay? We have all sorts of things going on in our life at various times. But when we come in here to minister, we come with a pure heart and with clean hands, okay? And you could have just had a horrible fight with your spouse. Get your heart right before you come in, okay? She looks at him. I was looking to look at him. So, it's just real important. It's important, all right? Psalm 24, 3 and 4. If you have your Bibles, and I always recommend that you have your Bibles. When you come to the healing room, bring your Bibles, okay? Psalm 24, 3 and 4 says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol." Okay, we are bringing these people into the presence of God. Okay? We are establishing the presence of God. When they come in here, it's important that our hearts are right. I love this verse, and it's the Amplified version of Job 22:30. "He will even deliver the one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands." Doesn't matter what's going on in their life. Doesn't matter if they just robbed a bank and they came in here for prayer. You know, we are interceding for them. We are praying for them. We are letting God meet them here. All right, no matter what the problem is, and they can be delivered by the cleanness of our hands.
And that's an encouragement right there, because you want people that you lay hands on to heal to have some faith. Mm-hmm. You really want that. It's kind of a drag when they don't. But this, according to this passage, they may not, and you can still get it done. If they bring a baby, the baby's not going to have faith. The parent could have faith for them or not. If you ever raise a dead person, and some of you probably will, they weren't going to have any faith. So there's things that you need faith for to do. Mm-hmm. And John Lake says that faith is primarily the person that's offering the prayer, and secondarily, it falls on the recipient. Mm-hmm. Secondarily. So... that's a good scripture. That's a good one right there.
I love that one. You need to have time with God in your own life. You need to have time in the Word, okay? The Word, when you're ministering to somebody, What you want bubbling up out of you is got to be in agreement with God's word. And the way you know it's in agreement with God's word as you minister is you're putting the word in. Word in, word out. Garbage in, garbage out. Okay? It's a principle. It works. Put the word in. Spend time in the word. Take the time to spend time with God and in the word. Love. Make sure you're walking in love. Faith works by love. Galatians 5:6. You can't be angry at someone and be a good conduit for the Holy Spirit. It's funny how many times, I mean, we minister a lot. It's absolutely amazing to me how many times that we minister together that we have attack of, what would you call it? Just plain irritations with each other.
Bickering. No,
bickering, good word. And you know what? The enemy knows. The enemy knows that if he can get you out of love, that you're just going to have trouble ministering. And so we are always careful to make sure that we get over that quick and get our hearts right, forgive each other, you know, so that we don't want anything. We don't want anything blocking what God wants to do for somebody. You know, we don't want it. We don't know if they'll come back. If this is their only time, if this is their only chance to meet God and be touched by God and get healed to that day, on that particular day, I do not have the luxury of being irritated with my husband or anybody else. I don't have that luxury. Their life may depend on it, you know. There's a word, the scripture, it says in 1 John 4:20, how can you love, let's turn there, I'll do better that way. I was quoting it all over the place this morning, 1 John 4:20. Okay, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? The body of Christ, I hear this so much, the body of Christ thinks they have the luxury to be angry and to hate. And if you're angry, you might as well call it hate. Okay? And yet they try and say, well, I love God, but this person, this was what they did to me and I'm angry. We don't have that luxury here. Okay? We just don't have it. 1 John 4:20. So, if you have aught, before you get here, leave your gift at the altar, the word says in Matthew 5:24. You make peace. Call that person.
Actually, that particular scripture says, if they have aught against you,
yeah,
leave your gift at the altar. Yeah. That means you can't leave something unsettled when someone's upset at you either. You can't say, God, for my part, I'm okay. If there's the power to fix that, you ought to. Yeah. Because it's a block. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're free, but they're not. And so Jesus is saying, go to them and get it fixed. And of course, we have this blanket thing where we have to forgive everybody at all times, according to Mark 11:23 and 24 and 25. You know, just to get your faith to work, you have to forgive everybody at all times.
Yeah.
Oh, that's when you were asking what precipitates healing, I was going to say, you know, a lot of times we ask somebody, do they need to forgive someone? And it's like in the act of saying, I forgive my mother or my brother, you just said, oh, I mean, just, we had one girl say, you know, I feel better already. And I thought, wow, yeah, that's like the power.
Sometimes that's what's blocking their own healing, if they need to forgive. And you'll learn that as you minister more. You'll learn, you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, and you'll learn how to minister to that. Okay, number 6, get freshly filled with the Holy Spirit every day, all day long. Okay, pray in the Spirit. B, how we act. You never get a second chance to make a first impression. You know, when people come in here, you know, if you're, let's say we've got a team over here, praying for somebody, or we're bringing somebody in to be prayed for, and there's another team waiting to pray for somebody, and they're over there laughing and joking, and this person's coming in to be ministered to. Terrible first impression, okay? It's not that we're walking around with depressed-looking faces, because we're not, okay? We're excited about what God's doing. But you're God's representatives.
It goes real deeper than that. It's how you look, how you're dressed, how... Obviously. I know you're getting into that, but how your breath smells.
Okay, we'll be going over that. Also, it's about them and God, not them and you, okay? You're just the conduit. You're just the facilitator between God and them, okay? No cell phones, you know? No cell phones. Turn them off, put them away. Don't get them out and look at them while you're ministering to somebody. Just keep it put away. There's nothing that can
wait.
Well,
can they silence it like I do?
Well, yeah.
Because every once in a while, you know, I'll press it to see the time or something. And
well, that's not a good thing to do. See, we're going to have an argument here.
Okay.
That's not a good thing to do while you're ministering, okay? It's just not. Wear a watch. Don't leave in the middle of ministering to somebody. Sometimes you have a schedule and you have to leave, okay? And when we've had the School of Ministry students, they've, you know, come in and participated, but sometimes they had to leave early. And we say, if you know you've got to leave by a certain time, tell the leaders at the beginning of the healing, or the training room, or healing room, excuse me, the healing room, but leave between subjects. Don't leave right in the middle. Very distracting, very rude. This is about them, people that come in for prayer. See, pray with your eyes open. This is really hard for me. I pray with my eyes closed. The thing is that what we found with the healing room, and a lot of the healing rooms operate this way, if you can keep your eyes open and pray for somebody, watch what the Holy Spirit's doing, okay? You might see tears, you might see eyelids fluttering, peace on the person's face. I've seen people's countenances change as we've prayed for people. Absolutely fun to watch, and you know the Holy Spirit's doing something, okay? So if you can keep your eyes open, it's a good thing. They'll be shaking, they might see hands shaking, you might even see demonic manifestation. You want your eyes open for that. Yes?
It's important always have a box of Kleenex when you start praying.
Good point. Always have a box of Kleenexes at the station that you're working at, okay? Good point.
Do you cry a lot, Tony?
You never know.
When the power of the Holy Spirit is seen, it's very important how we behave, okay? So let's say somebody is, they've just gotten their knee healed, okay? And they were maybe in a brace or something, okay? And you don't want, now that point is not the time to draw all the attention to you with your excitement. You can be happy, you can praise God, but it's about what the Holy Spirit's doing with them. It's so easy, and you see this a lot in charismatic or Pentecostal churches where God is moving and all of a sudden somebody is sitting in the back laughing and the Holy Spirit's moving in a very quiet way, you know? And so all of a sudden all the attention's on that person, you know? And I'd say there's probably more liberty in a church service, but when you've got one person and there's two or three of you ministering to that one person, and that person is getting moved on by the Holy Spirit, and God is doing something, now is not the time to be doing backflips in the Spirit, you know? All right? So we want to help these people keep their focus on Jesus. Yeah. Very important. And if we take our focus off of God, if we take our focus off of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit is going to lift. They'll take their focus off of God. Like Greg said, you know, it takes a lot of faith for them to come here to to get prayer, and we have to help them receive. I'd say this somewhere else in here, but a lot of times they'll come in and they'll close their eyes and they'll start praying in the spirit, and we're going, wait a minute, just be still, just receive, you know, just receive. Let God minister to you by His Spirit. Okay. We always pray D in.
Can I go over something on that?
Sure.
Watch what the Holy Spirit is doing on C1. About 25 years ago, I used to study the teachings of a guy named Father Francis McNutt, and he was a Catholic priest that traveled around the world praying for the sick, and he had a healing team that went with him. And I learned something from him, and it was really a blessing, because I was always praying for the sick all the time. And he said that one time his group, his staff and him were gathered around somebody, and he has something he called soaking prayer. And you hear about soaking now in the prophetic movement, but back then they would just soak on somebody that was like terminally ill for hours. This one person once had a syndrome of conditions, probably five or six different things wrong, and they were just soaking the person. And watch what the Holy Spirit's doing, it says here on our sheet. God started fixing one little thing, the least problem in this person. It was the least thing. It was on the foot or something. And He started fixing it without doing anything else. Mm-hmm. And so Father McNutt said, well, we do what we see the Father do. We do what we see the Father do. Which, in this case, it's the Holy Spirit doing it, you know, for the Father. But Jesus said, I do what I see the Father do. And so they really got excited, and they started praying, and they made sure that that was a complete healing right there. And then as they continued on, that healing opened the faith of the person and the staff, and then it started rolling over into the bigger healings. So it's important to see if God chooses to do something that you're not doing, you better stop what you're doing and get on what God is doing right at the moment.
So yeah, sometimes we want to go after the big thing. We get lots of people with lots of different issues, you know. Oh, my back's kind of hurt, and I've got this growth on my toe, and, you know, and I get migraines, and I've got a tumor, you know. And we tend to want the big thing to go. We want the biggest manifestation. And sometimes people leave here, and the smallest, seemingly insignificant thing will be what the Holy Spirit works on at that moment.
And one more thing on this subject. We were in 2010, October, we were in Todd Bentley's first meeting back after his fall from grace. And he had been through this restoration time with Rick Joyner, and we were in that meeting. It was in Reno, he literally stood up there and was, you know, really humbled himself. But then in the first few sessions, he shared this key. He kept resharing this key that has made his ministry really great. And the key has to do with this one. See, number one, watch what the Holy Spirit is doing. But what he said is he gets alone with God before the healing time. And he says, And it's based on the scripture, I do what I see the Father doing. Jesus said, I do what I see the Father doing. God will literally show you the healing ministry time before you ever go to the location where you're going to be doing the ministry. And that's what
that's happened in the intercession. Intercession on Thursday mornings is before the healing rooms. And in the intercession time, there has been numerous times where the Spirit was moving, there was a word, there was some sort of ministry, but there was a move of the Spirit in intercession, And it was unusual. And then a person with that very need would walk in to the healing rooms. Yes, Judy.
Okay. We were in intercession, and the word came out that a woman was going to, she had just, her child had committed suicide.
Yeah.
The woman walked in, and we got her, and her daughter had committed suicide mm-hmm. 3 or 4 months before. It was in fact said, God knew you were coming. It was prophesied that you would be sitting here. And she was just bawling because the fact that even God, the fact that God knew she was coming and spoke it out just said,
that's right,
I just can't believe that.
That's
but true. I said it.
So what, that's good, and I remember that day.
Yeah.
And that was the Father was wanting to minister to her. And what Todd said he does is, for 3 hours before his evening service, he lays on the floor of the hotel. Ooh, floors aren't clean in hotels. Well, throws a blanket, I don't know. But anyway, and he prays, and he seeks God. And I guess his wife goes somewhere, he's all alone. And then when he got there that night, he had a piece of scratch paper. And he had like 10 things written on it. In his hand, it was real messy. He held it up and showed us. He says, this is what God's going to do tonight. I got it in prayer. And those are like, that's like words of knowledge, you know. But it was such a great demonstration to me in the healing ministry of what we're supposed to be doing if we're willing to pay the price, pray the price, you know. And anyway, he went down the list and he says, who's here with the, and it was really, his job was so easy. He was relying on the Father 100%. So he just goes, who's here with diabetes? And there's like 6 people there. They all came up. Who's here with, and he goes on and on down the list. And he says, okay, the 10th one, who's, where's Rose? And by the way, I don't know you. Where's Rose? And I'm kind of making up the name because I can't remember the name. And then no one said anything. He goes, S, Rose S. And there's still no one comes up. He goes, Rose S. Smith, like that. He didn't know this person. And she came up. There's a woman in there by that name. And she came up and was going to get her healing. And so, you see, I do what I see the Father doing. Go find that in John, where Jesus says it. I think it's in John 6 or 7. Go find that and meditate that. I have meditated that now so much since then. And it's, watch what the Holy Spirit's doing.
One of the things, too, about watching what the Holy Spirit's doing is you realize it's not, there's two things. You realize it's not up to you. It's not up to you, okay? You also realize, but the temptation is to be watching and then trying to make it happen, you know? Make it happen with your thoughts and your mind instead of trusting that God's got a plan. Those people are there by divine appointment. Let's watch and see what the Holy Spirit's going to do, you know? Sometimes people come for one thing for prayer, and God's got something totally different in mind, and they are not even expecting what God's going to do. You see, it's very fun. Very fun to see how the Holy Spirit works. One more thing about demonic manifestation. We haven't had a lot of that yet, but I'm expecting it, okay? We've had unsaved people that have gotten born again and spirit-filled. Very exciting, okay? But nothing should catch you off guard. Nothing should catch you by surprise. Expect everything. And what that means is, with God, all things are possible. They can come in and try and manifest and, you know, with some demon, and you can say, be still in Jesus' name. Come out. You know? Just expect God to move. Okay. We always pray in a team of two to four. 2 to 3 is better, but I put 2 to 4 on under D. And the reason is too many people can be overwhelming. All right. Now, if all of you were here on a Thursday morning praying with us, and we have 3 teams, we have probably too many people for a comfortable team. We did have, at one point when we had the School of Ministry students in here, sometimes our teams were 5 or 6 people, It's just too big. It's just too big. It makes the person that's come to prayer uncomfortable, okay? You know, Jesus sent people out two by two. We never have anybody praying alone. Never. Not a man, not a woman, okay?
A man never prays for a woman. Is that coming up in later?
No, but that's...
And vice versa, without the same sex present on the team.
Yeah. It's just wisdom, okay? It's wisdom. Same reason you go into a doctor's office, and the doctor doesn't do an exam on a woman without bringing his nurses. You know, most doctors do that, okay? We minister in teams, okay? When you're ministering in here, this is a practical point, you're going to be shuffled around a lot, okay? And the reason is we want everybody to learn how to minister alongside different people, okay? Everybody's different. We have to learn about each other. One of the things, and I don't know if I have it here. I do have it. Oh, yeah, turn the page to page 2 under unity. We need to learn to submit to one another, okay? Very important. There's a lot of power in unity. We need to learn to submit to one another. We need to learn to appreciate and recognize each other's giftings. And Christine has the best way to describe that. I'm going to put you on the spot. Would you come up and just say...
Can she do it from there?
Well, she can if she can talk loud enough. I want it on the recording.
Oh. Whoa.
Come here. I want you on recording. She has
to speak into your pocket?
She has an amazing revelation on this. And you can say it better than I can.
Yeah, just that depending on the different giftings, you're going to process the whole healing. The process is going to look different to you. There are certain personality types or gift types that are very literal. They're very by the law. And if you give them parameters, they will never step outside those parameters. If you're a very flow by the spirit kind of person, that seems very rigid and unbending to you. And to a person like that, the fact that you flow and you have a hard time putting it in a box is very frustrating because you seem rebellious to them. So the whole thing of coming together and being in unity is really a choice, just like forgiveness is a choice. And you had better believe that the enemy is going to try and bring up every division that can possibly happen. He's going to try and get you offended. He's going to try and get you feeling disrespected. He is going to try everything to bring division because there is such power in unity. That whole Tower of Babel thing, what was that about? It was about the power of what happens when everybody is single focused on the same thing. So just be very aware that if somebody approaches healing completely different than you, you have an opportunity to learn from that.
That's right.
And if you will choose to learn, it will make you so much more effective in healing, because what happens is most of us look at our gift, we operate within that gift, and we rarely step outside the confines of our gift, which makes us very narrow in our scope. If we can learn from people who process different, then when a similar situation comes up, even though we don't have the instinct, we can say, wait a minute, I saw this modeled when so-and-so was healing in that way. And now all of a sudden you start adding tools and tools and tools and tools, and you become even more dangerous in the spirit. So just if you can remember that the spirit of division is more dangerous than anything you would be divided over, that's a really, really important lesson. And if you keep that in just your understanding of the giftings, that just because somebody's doing it different doesn't mean they're doing it wronger.
Right.
It just means they have a different perspective on it, and you have a tremendous opportunity to grow if you choose to not stay comfortable where you are within your own gifts, understanding it the way you do, but rather learning to learn and grow from a brother or sister who are different than you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah. When you think you have all the answers, God could do your job through a donkey.
Yeah. I thank you, Christine. I knew she could explain that better. I realized that, because we had talked about this, Greg and I are totally different. We have a lot of similarities, raised both as Lutherans. We liked the same shows on TV when we were kids, and just lots of similar things. But the way we minister is very different, okay? And we have both had to learn what she was saying. I've had to learn how to yield trust and learn, you know, from him, all right? And you're supposed to say, me too.
Me too. You know what? We have to submit, in the body of Christ, we have to submit to everybody.
Yes.
You know that?
Yes.
If you don't know that, you know, you're missing a big key.
Yes.
Is submission. God can't bless your life until you're a submitted person.
That's right.
In life. And, you know, God was teaching me when I had a whole big family full of kids to submit in ways, in certain ways, to the three-year-old, you know? And it's like, we don't have a marriage where I rule over her as a husband. You know, she's got every bit on the ball in the spirit and mentally as I do. You know, we're partners. And I believe that's scriptural. In Christ, there's neither male nor female, you know. But more importantly is you need to be submitted out there in society, you know, police and to the authorities and to your bosses and to, you know, everybody. You need to learn how to be a submitted person, because the opposite of submission is rebellion. And in church, there's even a higher calling of submission. You submit to the man of God and all his staff and everybody that answers to him or her. And but then all just in the general body of Christ, we're all brothers and sisters, and somebody else has your answer sometimes. And you know, we are these beings that are not very introspective usually. No man knows his own heart at times, and your brothers and sisters around you, they know how to put you in line. And if you learn how to listen and flow in that, you're going to be really successful with God.
And the thing is I have up here Romans 12:10, but Romans 12:9-10 says, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. And in line with what Christine was saying about the giftings, is if I am willing to lay my life down and prefer the person that I'm ministering with, I trust God. I trust God that God is going to get through to that person what they need, okay? And I can say nothing, and I can prefer the other member of my team for that person that came for prayer's sake, you see? And it says, let love be without hypocrisy. You know what? You can act like you love somebody and still have an offense or be irritated, and you know what? God knows it just doesn't cut it. Okay, you need to have a heart of submission, a heart of love, and a heart of preferring one another. We do have a hierarchy, if you will, for lack of a better word, of order on the team. Okay, and I'm going to go over this at the end, but there's a leader. Okay, there's on number four. D4. There is a leader, okay? The leader is going to be doing most of the ministering, all right? There'll be somebody else that ministers with that person, you may disagree. On that team, you may disagree with what they're doing, okay? But the leader has the final authority, all right? And that's real important that you understand that. He decides that. If there has questions afterwards, discuss it. It's okay. Say, hey, you did it this way, and I would have done this, but tell me what, you know, let's talk about this. People in unity can talk to each other, okay? You just don't do it in front of the subject, okay? You wait till afterwards. Yes, sir.
We should encourage talking afterwards. It shouldn't be something that festers.
Absolutely.
Not in front of the person.
Right. Not in front of the person after the person leaves.
Right.
And if there's a whole bunch of people waiting to be prayed for, you may need to do it after everybody's done.
Right.
But But sometimes you just need to talk it out. But ultimately, even in the talking out, the team leader has the final authority. And you have to respect that and submit to that, okay? There's power in the power of agreement. Matthew 18, 19, where two or three agree is to touch anything on earth, they shall have what they ask for. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Ecclesiastes 4, 12, agreement, unity is important. Okay, I just cannot say that enough, all right? There's a scripture that a family member of mine loves to use, and it's iron sharpens iron. I can't remember where it's found, but you know, when we work with each other and we have differences and we look at things differently, boy, that's just amazing. That's wonderful. God is using our differences to polish us, you know, to make us even more useful for the kingdom. Six. It's important that we walk in that law of kindness towards the subject and each other. Faith works by love. Your doctrine versus their doctrine is something very important to understand. You, like I said, we have people that come in here from all sorts of backgrounds. All sorts of backgrounds. It's not important that their doctrine gets fixed while they're here. That's not what they're here for. Okay? That's the Lord's business, okay? They may have a strange doctrine, something you know is not scriptural. That's not the time to pull out your Bible and say, listen, let me show you where you're wrong, okay? That's not kind. That's not love.
You can't talk revelation into people anyway. They have to get it from God directly.
That's right. And it's a process, and you don't know what where they are in the process, too. This scripture has been, this is a rabbit trail here, but there's a scripture that's been on my heart the last couple of days. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. What is that to thee? You know.
Oh, that means none of your business, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It means, and that's in the last chapter, I think, in John. And I thought, I've been thinking about that scripture. It's like, we want to go around fixing everybody. We judge people, we call it discernment. We judge people, and the Lord, I feel like the Lord is just really saying, what is that to you? You follow me. What's that to you? You follow me. Feed my sheep. You know? It's not up to you to change their doctrines. You know? It's just not. That's God's business. It's not up to you to tell them where they need to be. Okay? Love them. Be kind to them. You have just a little window of time to minister to them. They're not here. Our ministry time is an hour and a half. And we've had as many, what, as 12 people before? 12, 14 people with two teams at one point. We're like going through them really quick. Sometimes you only have 10 minutes to minister. You know? God doesn't need a lot of time. He just doesn't, all right? But I'm just saying it's not kind to try and make them like you, to change them, okay? The other thing is that religious language. There's a lot of people, like I said, that come in, not church people or traditionally church people. They don't know what Zoe life is. They don't know what it means to be. You got somebody come in here that's never been churched before, but they just got a diagnosis and they found out we pray and they'll do anything. And you try and talk to them about being washed in the blood, they're going to think you're weird. They will not like to hear that.
I do men's retreats, and I call them retreats. I don't call them advances. But you see, I'm evangelistic. And I'm trying to get the world to come to my retreat. Hey, you want to come to my advance? What? Advance? What's an advance? Yeah. It's a retreat. Oh, you're talking in opposites. Yeah. You must have a devil. So, you know, there's this Christianese or this stuff that, and that's okay. We all use this lingo on each other. But our calling is out there. We get out there and they don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, so be simple. Keep it simple. All right? E, encourage people to just receive. I mentioned this a little bit ago. Don't, spirit-filled people that come in tend to go, they close their eyes, they raise their hands, and you're praying for them, and they start praying in tongues. Okay? And you're going, and it, they feel like that's what they're supposed to do. All right? But you can't, try kissing and talking at the same time. You can't do it. You can't do it. Say to them lovingly, we just want you to receive. Just close your eyes, lift up your hands if you'd like. Just receive. And it's very hard for people to do that because they always feel like they want to be engaged. Like, I got to be doing something. I got to be doing something.
I want to help you out.
Yeah, I want to help you out. And you know what? It's, we're like that. I mean, you go into prayer yourself, and it's like you feel like you got to do all the talking. You got to do something. And God's going, just listen. I just want to tell you how much I love you today. And you're going, you know. And so what we want to do is to help these people be in the best position to receive what God wants to do. So we encourage them to just receive, all right? Also, we've had some people that won't stop talking, you know, and you're ministering to them and you're trying to get them to receive, and they are still talking about their symptoms, you know. They just go on and on. And or they're telling, you're praying for them and they're trying to talk to the other member of the team, you know, and you're like, and just receive. You're going to find that. In fact, if there's something that we have that we experience the most, it's the talkers. It's the talkers. And the idea is to get them, you get them in, they fill out a form. I'm going to show you what the forms look like. They fill out a form. You get them in. You try not to let them say too much. You say, you know, in a nutshell, why are you here today? And you're seeing paragraphs written about why they're here. They've turned it over on the other side, and then they want to tell you again, okay? And by the time they do all that, they're having trouble receiving because they're so focused on their symptoms, you know? We just want them to receive. Find out what's wrong, pray, and help encourage them to receive.
You're not exaggerating. That does happen.
It does.
Yeah, you got to tell them. It's just something for you.
Yeah. Peace be still. Very good. That's very good. Haven't tried that yet. I might quote that.
Yeah, I can say that. But, you know.
Yes, sir.
Do you sense that people share a lot because it's safe?
Like it's, that's a good point.
Somebody they can find in about something.
There are many people that come because they need somebody to hear them. Okay, the problem is that, and it's not that we don't want to hear. There is a time factor, because I've had a team. Greg will have a team. Tony and Judy will have a team, and I've had times where I just had one person because I could not get them to be quiet, and in an hour and a half, I had them, you know, and that's probably an exaggeration, maybe a little less than an hour, but that's too long, you know. Yes.
We find a huge problem is they need counseling.
Yes.
Marriage counseling, kids counseling, you know,
right.
They've got these huge issues, but this is only a healing room. It's not a counseling.
And that's where we have to learn. That's the part of the learning process that you're all going to be going through, is that you're going to learn that when somebody wants to talk and talk and talk, that you need to be able to say, you know what, we're going to pray for you. You know, we understand that you have some things you'd like to talk about, but what you need to do is maybe make a counseling appointment with somebody, because we're here just to pray and see what God wants to do. See?
In answering his question, sometimes it's nervous talk. They just can't shut up. But I think there's another thing here. When they go to a doctor, the doctor is the only one in charge of their healing, right? And so they have to make sure he understands fully everything that they're experiencing, all their symptoms. They have to get everything across to him. But when they come in here, it's Dr. Jesus, and he's all-knowing. He knows what's, and we're just like, we're like the puppet, the ventriloquist puppet. You know, we're just the vessel. We don't have all the knowledge. So we don't really need to know everything that's wrong with them. In fact, that's how to, some of your anointing can leave you the more they talk and tell you. So
There is times when you have somebody that ministry is legitimately going to take a long time because they're broken. They are broken. They may not be there so much for physical healing as an emotional healing, okay? And they are broken, and they need to be loved, and they need to be ministered to. And, you know, that's okay. But I'm talking more about the people that just, they're not, we've had people that actually come in, and they're not even really there for a healing as much as they are for just having a place to have a voice. You know, they want somebody to listen, and that's not what we're for. That's not what we're for. Okay, it's delicate. You have to be gentle. All right, but this is what you learn.
I was just saying, if we've had that issue, it's just so hard to say. I don't think we've ever said cut them off.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's unique. It's different with each person. Okay. You have to let the Holy Spirit help you, but you do have to, you're in charge. You guys are in charge of what's happening, okay? Well, the Holy Spirit is, but they aren't coming in to run the healing time. They're there to tell you what they need prayer for, and you and the Holy Spirit are in charge. And if you have to say, you know what, let's just stop right now and let's pray and let's see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And they go, oh, one more thing. Well, let's pray for this first.
Because you're putting it on the Holy Spirit.
So
you always invite them back, though.
Oh, yeah. Always. When they leave, we always invite them back. You'll see healing manifested, and sometimes you won't. Doesn't mean it's not taking place. Okay? We'll get to that in a minute. Go down to spiritual gifts, because this is kind of an important thing. Greg said earlier, you know, ministering to them with the word of knowledge, okay, for instance, that kind of ministering really opens people up to receive, okay? You have to, we discussed this in the classroom.
We have a whole session 3 or 4, on the gifts of the Spirit. And I recommend, if you want to refresh on that, on the internet.
Yeah.
Also, I put a little program in there for Mac users to add to your own computer, so you can listen to Windows Media Files, by the way. But now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, need a little instruction in that.
The gifts are always positive, okay?
They build people up.
They always have to build somebody up. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, love edifies. 1 Corinthians 14:4, prophecies to edify the others. You know what? When you're prophesying, don't feel like you have to. If you've got nothing, don't say nothing, you know? If you have nothing to say, don't say it. It's okay to be there and be still, okay? Listen to the Holy Spirit. You might say something like, number two, it says, I sense that the Lord, be careful how you say things. I sense that the Lord is saying, okay? If somebody has a spirit of pride and you can see it, you don't say, you have a spirit of pride, okay? Rather, you might, you know, ask the Lord to, you know, help them, you know, be more humble. To say, Lord, help them. I just speak, you know, humility over this person. I thank you, Lord, that you're giving them the grace to walk humbly through this situation, you know?
How about starting words with, I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying.
Right. Yeah, I sense the Lord is saying, I believe. We can get really lofty in our ministry of the Spirit that way. It's very, the Lord is very well capable of getting to that person what they need, okay? So I guess what I'm saying is just be willing to listen. Don't feel like you have to say something if you don't have anything, okay? Our church has some guidelines that are probably specific to this church, but probably very similar to other churches too. And number three, no babies, mates, or dates. In other words, you're going to have a baby by the end of this year. Don't do that. I see a husband. I think you're going to be married by the end of this year. No.
And that's a date.
And that would be a date, yeah. So when I first heard these rules, I thought, dates? You can't say they're going to have a date? Yeah. They didn't mean that. It took me a week to figure that out. I didn't get that. You can't give dates. I August 4th is coming to me. I don't know what that means, but I'm feeling like you're going to have a baby on August 4th, you know. You don't do that, okay?
So Harold Camping didn't have these guidelines?
I didn't read the scripture, no man knows the day or the hour.
Right.
Not
that's
even
right.
the Son, that's, except the Father.
That's right. So with that in mind, though, I mean, we had a great talk with Matt about that. And if you're feeling like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm supposed to tell this person something, you know, don't break these guidelines. Come talk with Greg or I about it, okay, and we'll pray about it, okay. But there's a proprietary function that we're under at this church. This is their proprietary rules and guidelines, okay? It's not ours. We submit to what they're doing here and the way they're doing it, okay? And that's very important that you understand that. Okay, praying in tongues. There are a lot of people that come in and either believe praying in tongues is of the devil or have never heard it before. Okay? My policy is I don't pray in tongues in front of people that I'm praying for. I get prayed up in tongues before they come. Okay? And now, if it's somebody that I know that goes to this church, that might be a little different. If you do not know them and you do not know their background, you're better off not praying in tongues, okay? Because Paul said, I'm all things to all people, all right? And we need to be like that. We need to love them so much that we're willing to lay down our right to pray in tongues in front of them, all right? It's real important that you dial down your emotions, okay? Sometimes you may have a situation where, you know, if you were in your prayer closet and you were thinking of this person, you would maybe be travailing for them, okay? But you can't do that in front of them. If they are not willing, if they're not experienced in what praying in the Spirit means, okay, praying in tongues. Yes, sir?
Can you pray with your mouth, like lips shut, where they can't hear anything?
Sure.
Yeah. And I actually, pray to yourself, but just not out loud. Dial down your emotions, okay?
Our application that they fill out, though, that we have in front of us when we're praying for them, it says, are you born again? Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Sometimes they don't know what that means, and they just check it anyway, and they're not.
Because they don't know.
But if they are, and you've discussed it, sometimes I'll discuss that with them.
Yeah.
You're baptized in the Spirit with speaking in tongues, and they'll go, yeah, I do that. And it's like...
Then that's easy, yeah. Use discernment, okay? But realize that it's not critical that you pray in tongues in front of people, okay? When we meet on Thursday mornings, before we open those doors and start bringing people in to pray for them, we bring them in one at a time to each team, we we get together, the people on the prayer team, we get together and we pray and we worship and we bring the presence of God in, okay? Nobody comes in that door until we feel like we've gotten in that place, all right? I think there's been a few times where we haven't done it, but for the most part, that's what we do. So that we are full of the Spirit and in unity, and we're just like ready for anything God wants to do, all right? But we just don't do things that we might have the liberty to do on a Sunday morning, okay, here in our church. We don't have that liberty because we're of the people that we're ministering to, okay? Yeah.
I've sent 4 Seventh-day Adventists who weren't full gospel, mm-hmm. but they were all blessed. So however mm-hmm. they have said here, they recognize that someone was...
You said 4 of them? Are you the one?
You're the guy who sent them.
You're the one! I was there's so many Seventh-day Adventists coming, okay.
Thank you, Sonny.
They've been very blessed. In fact, they said stories about their wife very miraculously healed. But what he noticed and said to me was, it was very respectful, it was very peaceful, I felt safe. He mm-hmm. actually used that word.
Good.
But then he said he saw somebody shaking so much they were under the power of God. So he recognized that.
Yeah.
But I don't think there was anybody who ever felt spooked or anything.
Good.
The wife was healed?
His wife was healed. Back compliment. Back problem.
I remember that couple.
Okay.
That's a huge compliment right there.
It is. That blesses me a lot. And that's the environment that we want. Okay? That's the environment we want. If the person being prayed for starts shaking, that's okay. But we really shouldn't start shaking while we're praying for them. We shouldn't. Well, I'm going to go over the team thing in a minute, but... So just dial down your emotions and how you express yourself in the Spirit.
You basically just don't want to steal the Holy Spirit, the attention from the Holy Spirit,
right.
And put it on you, because that's really a bowl in a china closet, yeah. Is what that is.
The Lord wants the glory, not you.
That's right. It's not about us. Right. We're just invisible little vessels that God's using. Okay. 1 Corinthians 10:23-24. All things are lawful for me, shaking, speaking in tongues, whatever, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but all things do not edify. If you get somebody that comes in here that's not baptized in the Holy Spirit, doesn't believe in it, that will not edify them. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. That's what we're here for.
What scripture
for.
Is that Romans?
No, it's 1 Corinthians 10:23-24.
It's at the bottom of 2.
Page 3.
Oh.
And then I actually typed this one out. All right, laying on of hands. When? Be sensitive. Ask if it's okay if we lay hands on you. Okay? Not everyone wants to be touched. All right? Ladies touch ladies. You know, if you've seen anybody that's ministered with Greg, I'm sure Tony's the same way. He will have, if I'm ministering with him, he'll say, Debbie, put your hands here. Or Ingrid is not here tonight, but she's, you know, one of the other ladies that works on Thursdays with us. You know, or Catherine, you know, you put your hands there. He will tell them, but only after getting permission. Ladies touch ladies.
Sometimes. I'll put my hand on top of the lady's hand.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's good. Generally, between the neck and the knees is off limits. However, I have asked women, may I put, you know, if it's a heart condition or something else, may I put my hand on your chest? That's fine, you know. May I put my hand on your lower back? That's fine, you know. Just be... It's common sense.
Respectful.
It's respectful, yeah.
People are really strange about their personal space.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, sometimes you can't even get that close to them because they want their space.
But wouldn't you say anyone coming in here is kind of expecting hands laid on them?
Yeah, probably 90% of the time, but you just have to... It's respectful to ask, okay? There are people that have been abused and don't want anybody touching them, okay? Male or female. There are people that have the kind of diseases that makes them sensitive to the least little bit of touching, okay? And God doesn't necessarily need your hands, okay? It makes us feel good, but I could go, like, I could be praying for him, I could put my hand out here, and he could feel heat, but he doesn't necessarily need me to touch him, okay? We put God in a box when we think that God needs us to touch a person. That's not true.
Sometimes when I pray for someone, I will, male or female, I'll just touch them with one finger on top of their head like that, and what I'll do is I'll say, I'm going to touch your head. But that's usually if I don't know them, because if I know them, sometimes fellow church members come in here. If I know them, I might just reach over and touch their head like that, but I don't know. Yeah. Still a good idea. It's still a good idea to ask, because, you know, ladies don't like their hair messed up.
He's praying for me. He's like, on the drive over here, he's like, can I touch your head? It wasn't because he was concerned about whether or not I would, he was concerned about messing up my hair. I went, oh, that's so sweet.
Oh, what a nice guy.
I know, yeah. So I said, well, touch me here, not there.
That's behavioral conditioning.
Okay, practical.
With a rolled up newspaper.
Clothes. All right, avoid wearing perfume, ladies, men. I have a family member that wears the most strongest male men's cologne, and I always give him a hug, and then afterwards I'm so sorry I did, because I smell like what he's wearing, and my whole house does when he comes over. And you know, people are very sensitive to scents, all right? And we've actually had times where there was you know, a fragrance of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's the kind of scent we want, but not on your body, all right? Let the Holy Spirit do that, all right? Some people are allergic to perfumes. So, you know, wear deodorant, yes. Perfume, no. You need to dress casual. You know, we don't dress up. We don't wear suits and ties or, you know, things like that. Casual, clean, and modest. That's how your clothing should be. You don't have to dress up. Avoid anything that would cause somebody to stumble. We've had, at one point, we had some school ministry students that were not dressed appropriately. One of them was in slippers. The other one had a low-cut shirt on. And we had to address that, okay? Wearing your slippers, I don't see anybody that would hear that would wear their slippers, but wearing your slippers to serve in the healing room is not appropriate, you know. Wearing a low-cut shirt so that the person you're praying for is distracted, not a good idea. Wearing pants that have paint on them and holes all over them, that's not respectful, okay? So, casual, clean, modest. Personal hygiene, teeth brushed, mouthwash, common sense, bathe, use your deodorant, clean hands. Our desire is to not cause someone to stumble. We are wanting to be all things to all people. Very common sense, okay? We have not, Jay, anointing with oil, we have really not done that, but there may come a point where we do. You would never anoint somebody with oil unless you ask them first.
Anointing oil, not motor oil.
Think of how you would like to be treated if you were in their shoes. Think about how you, if you were coming to a strange place and wanting prayer, how would you like to be treated? Okay? That's what we're doing. We're all about loving them and making them feel comfortable, all right? Jesus was always aware of who he was dealing with. Think about that. Think of all the different kinds of people that Jesus ministered to. And he was always aware. And he was always saying the right thing, and doing the right thing, and you have that ability as you minister. Always, the most excellent way in all things is love. You know the 1 Corinthians 13 love chapter. Faith works by love. We want an environment of love. What Robert described, that his friend said, I remember this one gentleman that we ministered to, Seventh-day Adventist, and he had I think it was a knee problem, knee or back, where he couldn't sit for very long. And I don't know if this was your friend or the friend of a friend, but anyway, when he left, actually, I think he prayed for us afterwards. He's the only person that's ever prayed for us after we ministered. And he said, can I pray for you now? Like, wow. You know, yeah. And he prayed. And the environment the of love and sweetness of the Spirit, that's what we want. That's what we want to live in. That's what we want to share. All right? We're making an impression that could change somebody's life forever.
That's right.
Okay? We don't judge. You're going to see all sorts of people come in all sorts of conditions. They may smell like alcohol. They may be talking bad language. Our position isn't to judge. We just love them. Okay? We just love them. We do not talk about the ministry to anybody outside of the healing rooms. Now, afterwards, at the end of the time, when we close down, we come together as a group, okay? And that's where we'll talk. We'll share with each other, we'll talk, we'll learn from each other, and then we pray and we shut it all down, you know, with a closing prayer. But outside this room, you don't go, oh, so-and-so came for prayer. Did you know that they have thus and such? You don't do that. This has got to be a safe place. You have a place of privilege to listen to what they're sharing with you. And if they hear it going around the church, then they know this was not a safe place. Okay? Yeah.
I actually had a couple approach me. They actually came to the healing room, mm-hmm. and they approached me outside about their experience in the healing room. But the way they broached it, there was another couple that was standing next to me, and I said, well, that's not my place to actually share who comes in or out of a healing room. And they were like, oh, that's really nice. I mean, they didn't even think about it, but they were talking the way they...
Yeah.
And there was another couple there, so it's actually happened the opposite way. So
that's good. That's good. Thank you. Yeah, we're going to talk about the foyer ministry next, and this is real important because people coming in and out, you know, when they go out, we have people out in the foyer. We always have someone out in the foyer. Sharon and Catherine have been, and Christine. Have been amazing out there. Part of what we do in here, it starts out there, all right? Being out there isn't a punishment. Being out there is part of the ministry. Very important part. That's where the first impression is made, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for coming.
God bless you.
I want to focus on that because everybody should have the opportunity to minister out there before as well as in here. Okay, we try and set the atmosphere out there with music. Okay, people come in and we have the chair set up. We tidy it up. We make sure everything's cleaned up. Actually, the oversight of the church has taken care of that pretty well lately. We recognize that we're greeting them. We give them the form to fill out, you know. And we're not sitting out there just chattering with whoever's walking through the foyer, okay? We're trying to create an atmosphere of love and consideration, okay? It's not a time where we minister to them the way they're going to get ministered to in here. We're just setting the stage for them to come in here, all right? We give them actually, let me show you. They have a clipboard, okay? We give them a clipboard. If you're out there working in the foyer, we give them a clipboard. Here, on top of the clipboard is a form that says what you can expect. We ask them to read that. We want them to know what they can expect in here. And then we have them fill out this form, all right? Always make sure they sign it. As I've gone through some of the sheets, I've found out that they don't always sign it. And we have to have them sign it. It's a liability issue, okay? And then when a team is available, a team member will go out and go get the next person. We will minister to them. We will look this over. We'll minister. And then when we're done ministering, we as a team, the team leader will fill out the other side about what happened. Like, they got dealed or, you know, whatever. We're not supposed to write on this side and say and repeat what they said they came for. The other side is to say, this is what happened. They cried. They wept. They left. They got healed. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They got saved, you know. That's what we write on the backside. So this is real important, that if you're out there working in the foyer, I don't care if you read what they wrote, but you're not supposed to minister to them, okay, in that way. You're just there to love them, to create a good atmosphere. Okay, they may have questions, answer the questions, but out there is not where you minister. These are submitted to the healing team in the order that they arrive, okay? In other words, if you have five people sitting out there in the foyer waiting to be prayed for, you make sure that the next person that goes in for prayer, you do it in order of how they arrive, okay? Otherwise, there was a time when we first got started where we had a whole bunch of people and it got confusing, and somebody was sitting out there and they'd been passed by people that had come in after them, had gotten to go in and get prayed first. They were hurt. They were offended. Okay, so that's real important. After they come out, let's say they come in with crutches, okay? And we've prayed for them. And maybe the pain in their knee is better, all right? But they go out and they're still using their crutches. If you're working in the foyer and you see them come out on crutches, you don't go, oh, maybe they'll get it next time. No. Okay. You don't say anything. You just love them. Invite them back. Okay? The Holy Spirit's working on them as they leave. They may get home and leave, open their car door and get out, and boom, they've got their healing. Okay? We walk by faith and not by faith.
We have to resist the temptation to doubt what happened here as the ministers.
Yeah. Now, something, and you don't have this on your sheet, but this is the way we set up the team, okay? This is just some practical understanding. You will each have a name tag.
Like in the basket.
Yeah. Like this, okay? Christine makes these amazing name tags, okay? On the name tag, you will have a dot, okay? These are the dots. There's a green dot, there's a yellow dot, and there's a red dot. The green dot is the team leader, team leaders, okay? Yellow is a co-leader, and the red is an assistant, all right? Sometimes we have guests that are just coming to see if they want to be a part of the healing ministry. They wear a badge. It says guest badge. We're still working on those. I don't think we've got those
and
yet.
And they're actually not going to sit in the ministry time. They would sit in a chair separate from that.
Right.
They actually wouldn't even be a part of the actual group.
The
like
group.
If you were sitting in that group, they would be in one of these chairs. They would be able to observe, but they wouldn't be a part of
good.
The group.
Yeah.
Who is that?
That would be the
guess.
Somebody, if they just say, I'm thinking about healing room, could I just come and observe what you do?
Yeah. So, okay. What dot you have on your badge is going to be determined by prayer, okay, and by a team. It's not me saying, I just think you're a yellow or a red. You know, I don't like you very well, so you're going to be a red. Okay, that's not the way that works. You will be selected or be determined prayerfully. So the green dot is the guy in charge. Okay, he's the primary minister. The yellow dot, they are allowed to speak and minister, but only after getting the leader's attention. They don't just start talking and cut across the leader. So let's say Greg's a leader. Say he's a green dot. Let's say I'm a yellow dot. If I had, and here's somebody being ministered to. Okay, Sharon, come up here. Okay, so Sharon's come for prayer. Greg's the green dot. I'm the yellow dot. And Tony, come up here. You're a red dot. Okay, this is the best way to do this. Okay. Tony is going to pray. Let me hear him. Tony's going to pray, but he's going to pray silently. He's there to add his prayer agreement only. Tony's here to learn, okay? The red dots have more learning to do, all right? They're very important. If you're a red dot, it's because you have more things to learn. Your support is there to come into agreement with what's going on and to learn, okay? But you don't say anything, okay? You don't say anything. The yellow dot, which would be me at this point, is if Greg is praying for Sharon, she's come for prayer, she's got back problems, he's praying, but I have a word. I will go to Greg and I will try and get his attention. He's ministering, and I'll either try and catch his eyesight, like, hey, I've got something to say, or I'll touch him on the shoulder. But if he doesn't acknowledge it, no big deal. Don't be offended, all right? It's up to him to decide if I have something to say. He may know. Okay. Sometimes when I'm a green dot, sometimes when I'm ministering and I've got like Rosie with me, and I'll know Rosie's got something, even before she looks at me or I look at her, I'll go, Rosie, have you got something? And she's going, yes. Mm-hmm. And I will turn it over to her. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. You guys can sit down. So it's important that you understand that there's just kind of a way that the team operates, all right? And all of what I just told you is not cut in stone, okay? So Marissa, for instance, has been, she's a red dot, all right? She's in the school ministry. But every once in a while when she's been on the team, I'll know she's got something. And I'll say to her, Marissa, you've got something? She's going, yeah, I do. I've got a scripture. I let her say it. So all of these are these are guidelines. They are not cut in stone. Yes?
The only thing I want to say about the red dot is when you say that they have a lot to learn, it's not like, oh, you don't know enough.
Right.
If somebody hasn't gone through all of the training, then it's really about observing, because you can know all this head knowledge, but until you get in there, you have no idea what you're going to come against. And as leadership, it's our responsibility to never put you in a position you are uncomfortable with. Or you're in over your head, or you feel a responsibility you just don't feel ready to do. So the whole point of a red dot is to give you a safe environment to get the feel for this guy. You may have worked in other healing situations, but there's a particular flavor of this healing room. And it just gives you that opportunity to get so comfortable that by the time you move into that yellow dot, number one, you can be trusted with the yellow dot, but also you just have confidence in the Holy Spirit and you have confidence in the leadership.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, because it's OJT here.
Yeah.
You grow.
On-the-job training.
Everybody learns at a different speed. And in doing is where you learn the fastest.
That's right. That's right. So we put the teams together. sometimes we'll just see Tony and Judy. Sometimes it'll be Tony and Judy and, you know, who?
Rosie.
Catherine, Rosie, Ingrid, you know.
Sandy sometimes.
Sandy Economy, who signed us down. Very seasoned woman of God. So anyway, as we kind of put these groups together and you come to, you know, participate and we figure out who's coming when, whether you're able to come on a Thursday, whether you're coming in the evening, you know, when we get that rolling, you just have to understand that this is all OJT, okay? Also, you may never want to be a green dot. Maybe you don't like being a leader. Maybe you'd rather just be supportive, okay? So we've discovered that too. So anybody have any questions? I know this has been a lot, but this is, again, that's why I put all of this down here so that you could, you know.
This is typical of any job that you go to. Somebody hires somebody for a job, they just don't throw you in there. Here, go do it.
Right.
You have to be comfortable with the job that you're doing.
Very good.
Get a little bit of experience. Once you get your feet wet, then you can let them go a little while and so on and so on.
Yeah.
Well, the thing I wanted to say about the green dot is a lot of times people think, oh, I just really want to get to that place of the green dot, but the green dot is the one who has to cut the person off when they start running away with the conversation. The green dot is the one who has to make sure that there's no ought in their group. The green dot is the one who has to have the conversations with people. It's like, do you understand what I mean? It's like
a lot of responsibility.
There's a lot of responsibility with the green dot.
Yeah.
They do paperwork too.
Oh, yeah. 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 So we have something called a prayer model, and this is just a kind of an overview of what we do. Let me pass that out. We go through an interview, we get their name, we get their problem. Is it physical, spiritual, emotional? You keep it short. You stay in control of the conversation. We're praying. In the praying part, we choose a direction based on the cause and based on the cause and the discernment. We invite the Holy Spirit to come in and partner with us, or partner with him. Excuse me. There's three steps that may be connected: physical healing, speak to the afflicted area and the authority of Jesus, have them test the condition, repeat if necessary. We have prayed. Somebody says, oh, I feel a little better, but I still feel pain. We pray some more. Okay, we've discussed that already, but it's real important that you understand that you may have to pray three times before you get the result. Jesus had to do that once, you know. He says, I see men walking like trees, and Jesus prayed again. If there's an afflicting spirit, we close the doors of that afflicting spirit. We have them repent if necessary. We take authority over the spirit. We have them take authority over the spirit that's afflicting them. If they need emotional healing, we might have to have them repent. Anyway. Walk them through forgiveness, soak them in God's love. When we close, we cover them with the blood, and we seal what God has done. Okay, this is just kind of an outline, but this is kind of the way we do that. Sorry, I'll give you one. So,
we kind of announced mid-year this last year that we were going to be more focused on physical healing. We were not going to do so much with counseling or emotional issues where people have big needs to talk. We kind of backed off on that. I don't know if we ever said it, but we kind of backed off, and we realized this is a, this church is big on emotional healing. And that's a big need out there. In fact, it's often necessary before someone can get their physical healing. So we realize that we're kind of specialists in that area. Mm-hmm. And we were getting a lot of people that needed that.
I think we've had more people that have needed emotional healing in ministry than we've had physical. Very interesting.
Yeah. So we're kind of about the whole person, spirit, soul, body. For the spirit, you get them born again. For the soul, you have to go the extra mile with them a little bit. And then for the body, we lay hands on them.
I think we made that announcement when we were getting really slammed with a lot of people coming in. But when it backed off, we realized we had more time so we could...
Yeah.
Also, we had people that were coming in...
Repeaters, yeah.
It's okay. If somebody wants to come here over and over and over and over again, that's not so much the point as the fact that we've had people that come in and they come in with no particular reason. They're just going, I just want whatever God wants for me today. Yeah. Well, that's not necessarily what we're totally about, you know. We're here to minister.
But we want them. We want to bless them.
We want them, yeah. We want to bless them. But it's not, this is a healing room, you know. So, this took longer than I thought, but we do want to pray for people tonight, all right? Sometimes we need prayer, and that's okay. We don't have to be the people that are so busy praying for others that we can't say, you know what, I need prayer tonight. I need prayer today. You know, I need to be on the other side. Don't be afraid to come in and ask for prayer. It's important. It's important that we minister to each other. Okay? And we've had people, a couple times we've had the school of ministry students who come in to be a part, you know, and they end up being the ones that we minister to. Okay? And we've ministered to each other. Very important. So we'd like to close tonight by ministering to you guys.
Well, does anyone have any physical pain or issues or discomfort?
We got Precious over here.
Where? Where are you?
They're behind.
It's a path.
Yeah, exactly.
Jason.
Yeah.
Walk up here.
You're coming. Walk up here. You know, very, very sure you could walk out of here without those crutches.
Jason, I know Jason would be open to that, right? Yeah.
I'm ready.
Okay. What's wrong with you?
Strain, ankle.
Yeah, it's swollen.
I can see it.
That's actually not bad.
Yeah. It was worse, huh?
Yeah. Once again, in the past.
Well.
How you gonna do it?
What were we going to do? Why did we set up these chairs like this?
We set up the chairs so that we could show you how we do it. Okay. So, you want to do that?
Hmm? We were going to let them pray for each other. We just probably ran out of time to do that.
I know.
Okay. Okay.
But I don't want somebody to leave if they have a prayer.
Someone come help us. To anyone, any of the new people.
Oh yeah. All right. Look at the preference. Meeting. Yes. Dean. Okay. Let's go ahead.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Just thank you for touching him and. Thank you for your Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are healing. We just thank you. We just release you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. We rebuke pain in this right now. We reverse the injury and we rebuke pain and we call it healed. Jesus is above the name of sprained ankle. We bless him. We bless him all over his being. We release, we reverse swelling. Right now, swelling, you go away. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. What did you do? Did you step off of something? Or?
I had something in my hands and my feet slipped out from underneath me, unexpectedly.
Praise God. Who else would like prayer?
I would.
Okay.
You think the leg and arm extension would help him, leg extension, in this case?
Pardon?
You think a leg extension would help him in this case?
No, I don't. Probably not. Well, have some new people. You pray for her and have some new people.
Okay.
Help you.
Okay. Jean. Okay.
So let's... Is this only physical or is it not?
Anything.
Okay. I just finished my year in physician.
Kusha sana matatakita bata bata.
I forget the power we have. You know what? I forget the power that you gave me. I dropped a hot bowl of food on my foot. And it was colder than me. And I prayed over it. Go away. I'm fine.
Praise God.
I'll tell you something funny. Tony and I always pray for the heart and the lower back. So I always do it for you. It happens like that. This one morning, Tony's like,
amen.
I never had such an experience, but you know, because I felt so out, I thought I was out of order.
Okay, so something really important happened last night at home place. The one Coopy Good, we weren't there, but this woman was a neighbor of Judy Anderson. She was prayed for, I don't know how many years ago, at the old church. For her heart, she had a heart attack. Last night.
At the Homes of Praise?
First of all, it was in the church. She had a heart attack. 10 years later, she comes.
7 years
ago, she comes to Homes of Praise. Last night, had another heart attack. They had to call an ambulance to take her to the hospital. Because she said, I had a heart attack last night. Somebody prayed for me. I told Judy, you got to watch what you're saying. I said, you got to watch what you're saying. And they very well opened the door to Satan because she had another heart attack last night. As they were praying for her at the whole place.
But it's gone.
And I thought, I don't know how she's doing now.
Really?
You are a restorer of paths to Fallon, Lord God, that she's been like on a hill. And you've just been like this. You've been like this. And you get down here and you can't see. what's going to happen? All that God has for you is being cut to pieces. So like right now, in Jesus' name,
is that therapist?
In Jesus' name,
he moved out of town.
Cleansing of everything that has tried to stick itself to you. I speak cleansing right now. Cleansing. Toe. Thank you. I declare the blood of Jesus in her presence. I put the blood between her and everything that she's gone through that's been hard and unpleasant. But thank you, God, for those things, because you've been building a foundation and you've been preparing her for the next place that you're taking her. Father, I just thank you for joy that's coming her way and for peace and provision, that even in this tutoring job, Lord, that she's speaking to these kids. And she's just speaking. She's teaching them. She's helping them. Lord God, that her presence there is going to touch lives in ways that she can see and ways she can't see. Lord, I thank you that her steps are worthy of you. I thank you, God, that you knew where she'd be tomorrow from before we found her. You're his hand. You are his hand. He loves it. He loves talking with you. He loves the time he has with you. Mm-hmm. So precious. You know what? You're mighty. You're a mighty woman. Mighty warrior. And every place that you've walked, every place that you've been through, everything, you wouldn't have just allowed anybody to walk through what you walked through. But he gave you what you needed, and he's been with you the whole time. You're going to have a lot more Sunday morning testimonies of the things that God is doing, the lives that you touch. And the special blessings. I just see blessings, 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 and blessings coming. Lift your hands. Blessings so full that you can't hardly contain them. Loads and loads and loads of blessings. Loads of blessings. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Let's get everybody up here. Everybody. Well, we don't need to join Angie yet. Praise God. Lord, we just release your glory in this room. Your glory, Lord. We just release your glory. We release your anointing. We release your healing virtue to each person right now. Just healing. Holy Spirit, just have your way in each person. Just touch their organs, touch their backs, touch their anyone with a headache, lift. We just release anyone with allergies, lift. Allergies go. Right now we just release the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. We just release full blessing. Holy Spirit, just anyone with something they've been believing for, we just add our faith to yours right now. Just right now, in Jesus' name, be free, be free, be free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Let's just go around here. We bless you. Release anointing and increase. Increase, increase. Blessings. Anointing, increase. Blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peace. 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 Anointing, blessings. Anointing and blessings and power. Restoration.
Joy.
Glory. Glory. Let's stay with the same word. Blessings. Healing virtue. Flowing through her right now.
Yes.
Up and down her backbone. Blessing on. He's blessed. He's blessed. Just Holy Spirit.
Oh, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Glory. Did you know what we were saying up at the retreat, men's retreat, is that we have the glory of God, and there's something to be revealed in us that has not yet been revealed. And in the last days, God here is having people realize that there's glory. There's more glory in them than anyone knows. In each one of us, we are containers and vessels of the glory. And when we start, the way to release it is to speak it out. Say, I release the glory. Mm. So we release the glory in this room right now and in these people. But the glory is getting released. So everyone say that with me. I release the glory from me into everyone.
Everyone.
And we just, we're in unity on this and the glory comes out. You know, there's... I heard a man say, there's enough glory in you to create a universe.
Mm.
And I had to think about that for a long time. And then I thought, well, that's right. I don't have a piece of God. I have all of God, you know. And so God in one person on earth is a majority. And God can do, God is omnipotent in me. There's no upper limit to what I can do. And there's no limit on the amount of the glory that I'm a container of. We just have to learn how to release it. And this one guy at the retreat, after we were talking about releasing the glory, the next morning I walked past him, and his neck clicked because he'd been sleeping wrong as I walked past him. He said, you didn't even touch me. You didn't even look at me. I was 4 feet from him. And as I walked past him, something went click, and all of a sudden his pain was gone. And it's like, okay, that was the glory. We've been talking about the glory, and now the glory is doing miracles, you know. So, hallelujah, the glory, all of you, the glory of God. You need to say, I release the glory. You know what? We were releasing glory against mosquitoes up there, and they were not biting. We released the glory on them, against them. Did you know you can release the glory on mildew in your house? I mean, it's in Deuteronomy. It's, you know, there's dew and or what is it? A mole.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory.
Glory.
Filled with the glory.
Yes.
He filled with healing. Filled with anointing, healing anointing, and higher levels of anointing here for her ministry.
Yes.
Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He was at my retreat. He's been releasing the glory ever since.
Yep.
Probably seen a lot of things happen since that retreat, huh?
Amen. Been running at full speed.
Praise God. More, more, more. More. Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Standing for healing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's... I seal it in Jesus' name. Call it all done. Glory to God. I see you testifying of that in the future in Jesus' name. Glory. the glory of God.
And I just take this home. And lay hands on your wife.
Amen.
You release it into Marlene.
Amen.
You've got it.
Amen. Amen. And this couple, you stand together and glory. And this couple, glory, 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 increase. Increase. Increase.
Jesus.
Increase. Faithful couple.
Faithful.
Faithful couple. And increases. Increase. You're going to see glory hitting people before they get to your healing station.
Yep, yep.
Hallelujah. 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 You better check their symptoms now when you pray, because they're going to have fulfilled healings, instantaneous. Hallelujah.
We'll put that in the paper.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
You know, I've been praying with four people for about 30 years in different occasions and stuff, but I've never had a thorough teaching like I've had from Greg. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is really a blessed
and
teacher.
And Debbie.
Yes. So, praise God.
Can we pray for you guys?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'm never going to turn that down.
The glory of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory. Praise you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Healing of diabetes.
Praise Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise you. More, Lord, more your giftings, Lord. More, Lord. So Greg and Debbie can give those giftings away, Lord. More, Lord.
Glory. Glory to God.
Lord Jesus, we just ask that you would just fill Debbie and Greg just with your power, Lord, that power from on high, Lord, so they can't contain it, that it would be so powerful, Lord, as they walk by, people will be healed. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you have this desire. This is your desire, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are implanting this in them so powerfully, Lord. It's for your glory, Lord. We ask that everything they say and do be for your glory.
Freedom, Lord. Freedom, Lord. Spiritual freedom, Lord.
Praise
God.
Praise God.
Words fulfilled and dreams fulfilled. Words fulfilled and dreams fulfilled. And as your arm, as your hand is in his arm and his hand is up to the Lord, the Lord will honor the order of that. You yoked with him, him yoked with Christ. The Lord will honor the order of that. Dreams fulfilled and words fulfilled.
The love flow from one another.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
All your sons and daughters will prophesy.
In the workplace. In the workplace. Because they are like the guys. They know who they are. They know they're from God.
Thank you. It has been a pleasure. And I'm excited to work with all of you as on the team, getting the team, you know, going. So